We're going to continue our study this morning in the book of Galatians. The title of the series is Liberty versus Legalism. The title of the message today, Liberty to Live. We've been trying to learn what the difference is between liberty and legalism. And this is your first time here since we've been in this sermon series, just to kind of wrap it up in a nutshell. Legalism is what, when you're trying to gain God's acceptance through your works. Liberty is when you're trying to please your great God by what you do. Big difference there. Big difference. Let's stand as we look in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Darrell Randall, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I preach this with the knowledge this morning that there are people within our membership, there are even people within this congregation today who are struggling. I've been told that the best way to fix a problem is to admit first that you have a problem. So what we're going to do with the knowledge that we have people here struggling with sin is we're going to just go ahead and name names. Amen? Michael Weatherford. Joe Hogg. Daryl Randall. Dale Ashlock. Doug Hambrick. We don't have time for me to go call everybody's name, do we? But you know what? The reality is that there is a continual battle against the flesh in this life. You know, the problem, we want everyone to think that we have it all under control. We've got sin and we grab sin by the throat and we've cast it out of our lives so that it's not a problem for us anymore. And that's just a lie. We want to act holy, holy, holy. But yet on the inside there is a battle raging every day, struggling with the sins and the desires of the flesh. And the reason that battle is going on is because we have a tendency to live in the lust of the flesh. As long as we're in this old body, we're kind of pulled toward the lust of the flesh. And I want to begin by explaining to you or sharing with you the things that are obvious. And the first thing is, of course, the obvious war that's going on. Paul said the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It's a continual battle on the inside. The question is not, is the battle going on? The question is, who's going to win the battle? That's the question that the jury's still out on most of us each day that we live. I mean, most people want to do what's right. But that battle is so strong sometimes that we don't always do what we know to be right. As a matter of fact, Paul said, you do not do the things that you wish in the text that we read. It's a struggle. And so Paul opens here with a very simple mindset just to remind everyone. He said in verse 18, he said that the works of the flesh are evident. I want to stop right there in that verse. And I want you to understand what evident means. That word evident is, in our language, clear, obvious, plain and simple. Okay? The works of the flesh are you don't have to think about it very long to figure out that they're wrong. Okay? Now, people justify and argue about it. But the reality is that there are works of the flesh, these works of the flesh that Paul's going to mention, you can't defend them. Only a dummy would try to say these things are okay. That's Paul's point when he uses the word evident here. It's plain, it's simple, that there are obvious works of the flesh that are just wrong. And we're going to go down through the list. And sometimes, you know, I take for granted, I guess I'm just a green old country boy. Sometimes it amazes me at the positions that some people will try to defend. You'll say, I don't see anything wrong with it. Really? Really? You know, and children today are really good at that. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, just open your eyes. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out first that adultery is wrong. Okay? Oh, I know we'll make excuses. Well, I didn't mean for it to happen, Brother Doug. Well, bottom line is it's a lust of the flesh, and it is sin that should not be in the life of any child of God. Same thing is true for fornication. Sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage. It's wrong, okay? Now, I realize people will tell you, well, you know, the hormones of the young and things that, you know, you just get in those situations sometimes. No, it's wrong. That's why you feel very guilty about it after you have participated in it. Okay? You can't deny the guilt that's there. The reason that guilt is there, because it's wrong. It's obviously wrong. Uncleanness, Paul said, which is indecency. Porn. It's not okay to look at dirty pictures. Okay? I realize it's a battle. And today's society, I realize that I've forgotten the statistic now. Something like 4 out of 5 men under the age of 30 struggle with pornography. Well, first thing you need to get on your mind is that it shouldn't be present in your life. Okay? It should not be present. It's not defendable. It's indecent. It's unclean. And lewdness, Paul said. That's just outrageous sexual behavior. Homosexuality would fall under that. Bestiality would fall under that. Pedophile would fall under that. It's just wrong. And I know the excuse, I was born this way. Hogwash. You've chosen to be this way. Okay? You've chosen to be, and it's wrong, and I love you. If you're guilty of any of the sins we've talked about so far, you're struggling just like everybody else is with whatever sins that they're drawn to, but never justify and back up and say, hey, it's okay, because it's not okay. It's plain. It's simple. These are sins that should not be present. Idolatry. Well, Brother Doug, I don't worship false gods. Let me ask you, do you put anything before God? Yeah, we all do. And you know how we feel afterwards, right? Obviously, wrong. Witchcraft, Paul said, and he said, well, Brother Doug, I don't participate in witchcraft. Good, I hope you don't, but I want you to understand what that word means. The Greek word's pharmakia, where we get pharmaceutical. Was he talking about drugs? Okay? He's talking about drugs. It's wrong. You know the move today. I'm amazed. Just like I say, I know I'm green, but the movement to throughout the United States of America, let's legalize marijuana. Really? You know, I find this hard to wrap my mind. It's plain. It's obvious. This is wrong. Okay? And Apostle Paul said, he said, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. Strife, hatred, jealousy, outburst of wrath. You say, well, Brother Doug, I don't commit adultery and I'm fornication and all that lewdness and indecency. I don't do. Do you ever have outburst of wrath? You know what that is? That is losing your temper. Woo. That hits close to home now, doesn't it? Guess what? That's a sin of the flesh. Giving in to being quick-tempered is giving in to the lust of the flesh. Okay? And it's obvious. It's wrong. That's why you feel so bad about it after you've lost your temper. Selfish ambitions, Paul said. Dissensions, heresies, false envy, murders. Well, I've never killed anyone. Brother Doug, so I'm not guilty there, okay, but you know, we've already knocked 10 or 12 other things in the head here that's giving you trouble every day, right? Drunkenness, revelries, which the Greek word there was a festive procession in honor of the wine god. When put it in our language today, a party. You ever hear about people having a party? They're not partying. They're going somewhere to get drunk. It's just wrong. It should not be present in the life of a child of God. Don't make excuses. These things. These things shouldn't be what your life is built on. Now, if you are living in the lust of the flesh, which is these things that we just talked about, if these things are prevalent in your life, you are not walking in the Spirit. Oh, you can come to church. Okay? There are a lot of people who come to church and think, I've done my part. No. No. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. And here's the scary part. The obvious outcome there in verse 21, Paul said, those who practice, and this is at the end of that verse, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's chew on that just a minute. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of two things, okay? You may say, well, Brother Doug, you know, what if you slip? Okay? If you slip, repent and get back to being what you ought to be. Okay? Anybody is capable of that sin. Okay? But this is talking about when it said those who practice such things. That word practice means habitual or commonly to practice something. It means to build your life on a certain practice. So, the idea there is, if you can live your life in adultery, you've got a salvation problem. Okay? If you can live your life in fornication, uncleanness, homosexuality, idolatry, and drug abuse, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of wrath, and we go on. If you can live your life and your life is just saturated with these things, you're not saved. Brother Doug, who are you to tell me I'm not saved? Well, it's like this. God corrects those who are His. He chastens those whom He loves. And if you can live this lifestyle without chastisement, you do not belong to Him according to the Word of God. Okay? It's plain. That's why Paul says there has to be a shift. There has to be a shift in where you build your life. In verse 16, Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Here's where it gets better. What I want to encourage you today to do is to live in the liberty of the Spirit. Quit living as a slave to the flesh. Okay? Now, when we talk about liberty and living in the Spirit, we went down the list there, and I'll just remind you. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you would like those words to be a description of your life? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Me too. Me too. That's where I want to go. As a matter of fact, Paul said in verse 23, and I want you to get this, against such there is no law. Now, you think, well, that just makes sense. Well, there'd be a law against goodness and kindness. That's not what that means. That word actually can be translated against or down from. The idea there is you're not going to get to these fruit of the Spirit by trying to keep some laws. It doesn't happen that way, Paul is teaching. Not committing adultery will not produce love, joy, and peace. I know people who are, you know, if you went up in the list that we just began with the, thou shalt not commit adultery and fornication and all those things, and boy, they wouldn't touch any of that with a 10-foot pole, but they are the most bitter people you will ever meet. Why is that? It's because they have come to the point where, okay, they're not going to do those things, but they're not living in liberty. There's a difference, okay? And in verse 25, Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. First question that you got to answer. Are you alive in the Spirit? See, if we live in the Spirit, that word live means to be alive. So we could say, if you're alive in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. If you are a child of God, I want to challenge you to make up your mind that old walk in the flesh is not good enough for you anymore. That I want to build my life based upon the principles and the foundation of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ. I want better. I don't want you to settle. You know, so let's take a test. Okay? We love tests. Let's take the test. What does it look like? I simply want you to ask, does this define your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Do these qualities, when people see you, is this what they get? Is this what they think of? If not, you're failing the test. And I want you to notice the difference that Paul pointed out. He began in the first part. He said, now the works in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are. But look at this. The fruit of the Spirit is. Works are something that you perform. A machine works. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that is produced naturally. You see, where we get it wrong or where we miss the boat here is when we say, I'm going to be more patient. And you make up your mind to be more patient in this service this morning, I promise you, there will be someone light you up before you get to the car. It's not going to work. That don't work. Huh? The temper, whatever. You see what I'm saying? These are not laws that you can keep. That you're going to make up your mind that this is the way I'm going to be. Sure, we can strive. But Paul's saying, look, you have the works of the flesh. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit. And if you are walking in the Spirit, these fruit are going to be present. Well, Brother Doug, how? Here we go. Here's where it gets good. Here's where I've been trying to get this whole message, okay? Number one, take these spiritual truths with you, write them down, take them home. Number one, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Oh, Brother Doug, that's simple. Yeah, it is simple. Okay? But verse 24 in the text that we read, it said, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Your old flesh guy is dead. He's gone. And do you realize it's not because you crucified him? Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about you crucifying the flesh. You see, that's legalism. When you were saved, that old flesh guy inside of you was crucified with Christ. It's something that's already taken place. And here, where Paul said in verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, it literally reads, the flesh has been crucified with those who are in Christ. There's a part of you that's dead. The problem is, many of you have been living with a dead man. Okay? You've been allowing this dead man to dictate to you the kind of lifestyle that you're going to choose. I like the way Paul put it. He said that flesh was crucified with the passions and the desires. He's gone. Do you realize the body that you now live in does not belong to you? It is not yours to do with as you please. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? It belongs to Him. Wholeheartedly, lock, stock, and barrel, it all belongs to Him. And you've got to come to grips with the fact that it's not yours anymore. Okay? And it's like the man. I heard a preacher give this story one time walked into a room and there was gambling going on. And the guys that were sitting around the table playing cards and gambling, they said, come on, join us. He said, oh, I can't. I said, well, why can't you join us? Come on, just sit down. We need a fourth partner. He said, oh, I can't. Why not? I don't have any hands. They looked at the guy and they saw he's two hands there. Said, what do you mean? You've got hands. I see them. He said, oh, these are not my hands. These belong to Jesus. So I can't play with Jesus' hands. Do you realize every day that you get up, these are Jesus' hands. These are Jesus' feet. It doesn't belong to you anymore. That's what salvation is about. It's you gave your life. You gave your all to Christ Jesus because He gave His all for you. That body doesn't belong to you anymore. It's been crucified. Believe what the Bible says. He's dead. He's gone. You don't have to listen to Him. So the next time you're in that situation and that impulse comes where, you know, you're caught off guard and you're tempted. You're tempted to let that old flesh go. You just tell Satan, oh no, oh no, I don't think like a dead man anymore. I'm not going to do dead works anymore. You have no control over me, Satan, because everything that I am belongs to Jesus. You see? That's when we start living in the Spirit. Believe what Jesus has done for you. And number two, boldly surrender your life. Lock, stock, and barrel. Verse 18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I like the way that sounds. Do you realize you're not controlled by the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit? The law was a control thing. As a matter of fact, we could put that in there. You're not controlled by the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not controlled by the law. That word led has the idea of willingly following, willingly surrendering yourself. See, here's what you need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, this is news to most folks, all right? But when you were saved, Jesus Christ came into your life to live inside you. He became a resident inside you, okay? And you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you're saved, all right? There's not some second, third, fourth blessing down the road. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, two things have got to happen. Realizing that the Spirit is alive inside you. Number one, we've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about what I just said. The Holy Spirit is inside you. You've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. All right? Do you realize God speaks to you through His Holy Spirit? And the reason I say that is because we have a problem, and our problem is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We're told, do not quench the Spirit. How many of you... Well, that word quench means to extinguish, suppress, restrain. Now, how many of you have felt deep down in your heart that you were led to do something and didn't do it? I did. You know what you did? You quenched the Spirit. You failed to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah? I mean, oftentimes we dismiss and we reject and we delay and we make excuses. But hey, do you realize the Holy Spirit is live inside you? And you're supposed to listen. It's supposed to be the guide for your life. Time and time again, I've heard people say, I know I should have moved in that service, but I didn't. You know why you didn't? Because you quenched the Holy Spirit. Time and time again, I've heard people say, I know I should have went to the altar, but I didn't. I was just nervous. You know what you did? You quenched the Holy Spirit. Time and time again, I've heard people say, I know I needed to go witness to that person I'm working to, but I didn't. You know what you did? You quenched the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? We need to learn how to listen. If we're going to live in the Spirit, we're going to have to be led of the Spirit, which means surrendered and listening. Anything else is quenching the Spirit. Second thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn to live it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we're told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That word grieve means to make sorrowful, to cause pain, to make sad. Do you realize that since you have been indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit leads and guides you and gives you directions through the Word of God, and sometimes just speaks to your heart and burdens your heart for things you need to do, when you quench the Spirit, do you also grieve the Spirit? Do you realize that as you live, when you cater to the lust of the flesh, and you're involved in these works of the flesh that Paul mentioned in the first part of the text, do you realize you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Literally, you are making God sad. Now think about this. Okay? Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. The decisions you make, the decisions that I make, as to whether it be a spiritual-led individual or a flesh-led individual, has an effect upon God. Why? Because you're a child of God. I want to tell you something. As a parent, there were times that I went through as a parent that just broke my heart. Because my child made some bad decisions. And I want to tell you, there's nothing. People could talk to me, oh, Doug, you'd be okay. That didn't help. Because that was my child. And when my child was making bad decisions, you could have just ripped my heart out. Yeah, it was just agonizing. Do you realize that if you have come to that point in life where you have given your life to Christ, you've called upon Him for salvation, trusted Him to be the Lord of your life, you gave yourself to Him and you became a child of God. And now the conduct of your life, the decisions you make, if you're flesh-led, if you're Spirit-led, will all reflect the heart of God. There were times I cried. There were times I got angry. Well, I'm going to tell you, those bad decisions hurt me. But you know something? What really lifted me up was when that child decided, this is not the right life for me. You know? Still to this day, my children are not perfect. But I want to tell you something. We've come a long way from where we once were. And I cannot describe to you the, for lack of a better word, the pride that I have for my children as they make good decisions. For the pride that I have of that child that took a wrong turn there for a while, and when she came back and began to make the right decisions and repented and changed her way of life, I cannot tell you the pride and the love that swelled up within. Here's what we've got to understand in our walk with God, in our life. Choices. There are things that should not be present in the life of a child of God. Paul went over them. They're obvious. They're plain. You can't defend them. You can't argue about them. They shouldn't be there. Instead, we should be led of the Spirit. We should be listening to the Spirit. We should be living by the Spirit. Let me ask you this question. How does God feel about you today? Where are you? So when God looks at you, does He look at you with the eyes of a proud parent and says, that's my boy or that's my girl? Or does He look at you and say, you're breaking my heart? Your lifestyle matters. My lifestyle matters, child of God. If it's been characterized by bad decision and works of the flesh, today's the day to repent, turn around, and go the other way just as quickly as you can go. Because I'll promise you this. God did not say, don't do these things to try and mess up your life. He said, don't do these things to keep you from destroying your life. He wants you to have joy, peace, goodness, kindness, those qualities. He wants you to have that life that is a blessing. Every once in a while, we need to repent. Maybe you're here today and you need to repent. This altar's open, and it's open for you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. You listen as God deals with your heart. One more. I want to talk to those who've never given their life to Christ. Listen, Jesus loves you. I know, you know, there are some here who say, Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His life. He died so that you could have eternity in heaven with Him. He died so that you could know the joy of salvation. Are you saved? If not, today's the day. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. You don't have to walk out of here knowing that you're lost, that eternity will be hell for you. You don't have to do that. Because Jesus says, come. Whosoever will may come. Will you come this morning as we have this verse of invitation? Whatever your spiritual need is, I just ask you, listen to the Spirit of God and respond. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson that is a reminder to us all that the decisions we make, the life we live, it does matter. And Lord, I pray that you will you'll just be in control of the life of every child of God here. And I pray, Lord, that we will live a life that will bring honor and glory to you, that we'll live in liberty, led by the Spirit, making God-honoring decisions. And Lord, I pray now that in this invitation, your will be done. We give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.